Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Isaac Davey Aronson in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. Saturday marks 37 days since the death of Eric Garner on Staten Island at the hands of a New York City police officer. It's been 37 days of tension, anger, and questions about New York City policing tactics. It's also been, we should note, given the images from Ferguson, Missouri, 37 days of relative peace. A medical examiner ruled that the death of Garner was a homicide. The case is now being sent to a grand jury. And this Saturday, thousands are expected to march in Staten Island, blocks from where Garner died, to call for justice. The march is being organized by Al Sharpton's National Action Network with support from a number of unions, including the United Federation of Teachers. One of the more high-profile attendees will be David Paterson, head of the New York Democratic Party and former governor of New York. And he joins us now. Governor Paterson, welcome back to WNYC. Thanks for being here. Governor Paterson, are you there?
Good morning.
Good morning, Governor. Thanks for joining us. I wanted to ask about the goal of the march on Saturday that you'll be participating in. Are there specific calls to action?
I think the goal is to bring public attention to the fact that in all professions, there are some people who are either bad eggs or there are people who do not discharge their duties correctly. And the police department is no exception. Now, there are police who have gone to prison for numbers of years, one on a rape case a couple of years ago, and different types of situations. But as yet, there has been no situation where the police have actually been charged or convicted of any crimes involving excessive use of force during an arrest. And this could be one of those cases. Now, I'm going to let the facts speak for themselves, but the facts over the years elicit too many situations, from the killing of Clifford Glover going all the way back to 1975 to the killing of James Powell. This is the 50th anniversary of that shooting where the officer kicked the body to make sure that the victim was deceased. And in that situation, it sparked 6 days of rioting, just like we're seeing in Ferguson County, Missouri. Now, the reason I don't think you see it in New York is because of demonstrations and protests, which are the humanistic way of elevating your voice in a democracy. What I think is happening in Missouri is you have a voter turnout in the black community of 6%. You have very few African-Americans who are able to get any jobs and leadership positions in that area. You have 20% unemployment rate among black youth. And so when things like this happen, it's really just the tip of the iceberg, really, or the powder keg, if you will, of the anger that people feel in these situations.
And indeed, the last time you were on the program was to talk about those Harlem riots in 1963. We just passed the anniversary of the Crown Heights riot, or an anniversary. You said that, as you mentioned, New York, of course, hasn't been like Ferguson. And it sounds like you give New York City credit that there hasn't been violence around the Garner death.
Well, I think because of the organized protest, and, you know, as much as people can be critical of people like Reverend Al Sharpton, they have found a way to take the anger and frustration of individuals who are fomenting it in the form of violence, which is totally wrong and totally unjust, but to put it in a way where there are marches, there are speeches, there's sometimes too much rhetoric, but it is a reasonable and acceptable way of taking a disagreement that a community may feel with the way policy has been discharged in government and elevating that in terms of a political voice. And frankly, if it hadn't been done in New York, we'd have situations like we had back in the beginning of some of those situations, like the killing of Clifford Glover in 1973, I believe, where the most of the people I heard call talk radio wanted to know why he was out at 5 o'clock in the morning with his father rather than why he got shot when he was walking around unarmed.
Hmm. Listeners, we want to hear from you. Are you planning to attend the rally on Staten Island on Saturday, and why? What do you hope to come out of it? Any teachers out there being asked by the union, the UFT, to attend? Give us a call, 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. And we'll reserve some lines for residents of Staten Island. Lots of people coming to your neighborhood this weekend for the march, but what's life been like since the death of Eric Garner? What does your community need right now? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And you're listening to WNYC FM, HD and AM New York, WNJT FM 88.1 Trenton, WNJP 88.5 Sussex, WNJY 89.3 Netcong, and WNJO 90.3 Toms River. It's New York and New Jersey Public Radio. We're talking with former New York Governor David Paterson. Governor, I want to play for you Mayor de Blasio talking about the rally. Here, take a listen.
Any act of violence will not be tolerated by the protesters, by the organizing committee, by the marshals, by the protesters themselves, and, of course, by the NYPD.
Of course, we've just been talking about how there hasn't been any of this in New York. Do you have any worries about any violence or confrontation on Saturday?
No, I have no worries about confrontation and violence, because I think I know where the violence comes from in Missouri, and we haven't seen that type of violence in New York since the riots of 1964, with the exception of the Crown Heights case, which was a deplorable act of violence, which claimed the life of a student who was living here in the United States, was from Israel. But it was one of those situations where there was a reaction to the a car accident in which some of the victims were taken away, and the little boy wound up dying in the street. And so it was kind of an immediate sort of reaction, and I think could have been stopped with a little better plan. But what I would say is that I just don't think this type of thing is going to happen in New York. And I think when the mayor is, I mean, he was probably responding to a question, but I don't know that he would have brought it up on his own, because I don't think anybody here is thinking about that. We've gone through, we're on the 25th anniversary of the death of Youssef Hawkins in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, and we had the shooting of Eleanor Bumpers, an old lady who was shot in the 80s, Michael Stewart, a victim on the subway. There were a lot of demonstrations in these situations, but none of them turned into any type of violent confrontation. And this one won't as well, because people in New York do know there is an African-American district attorney in the Bronx. There's been a mayor of the city, David Dinkins, who's African-American. I'm a former governor who's African-American, and many of the law enforcement people are. So I think people think they're going to get a good hearing. They are marching to make sure they get a totally fair hearing.
Are there specific policy proposals or changes at the NYPD that you think would be justified? Police Commissioner Bill Bratton said there will be a retraining of officers on how to restrain people being arrested. Is that enough, especially given the long history that you've been telling us of deaths at the hands of police?
Well, I think when you start choking a victim and he keeps saying I can't breathe and he's lying on the ground and doesn't move for 5 minutes and nobody does anything about it, it's probably time to do some retraining.
I want to bring in a couple of callers here. I want to bring in Ian from Brooklyn.
Okay.
Ian, thanks for calling.
I'm on three-way with NYC. I called in because they were saying how, and I had a comment, and I actually told them about your Facebook status. So I'm going to try and sneak you into my comment. You have a problem with that?
Ian,
you just talked to my listeners.
We're going to try to go back to Ian when he's aware that he's on the air. Let me talk instead.
He was making a complaint to the police department, and he wanted you to hear it. But that's one of the more interesting phone calls I used to do talk radio that I've ever heard.
Well, I do want to hear from Justin on Staten Island, who I think wants to tell us about how the protest route on Staten Island was chosen. Justin, welcome to WNYC.
Hey, guys. Thanks for continuing this conversation on this important important matter. I mean, it's really important that we talk as a community about this.
Justin, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm originally an Occupy Wall Street person. I got mobilized over here as part of the response to Occupy Sandy. A bunch of us are living here in the neighborhood where Eric was murdered. So we got caught in the middle of this. And we've been pulled in by the local community as Al Sharpton got involved. Al Sharpton, he's a great advocate to get these issues to the city and to the state. But as Reverend Sharpton started bringing the story to the larger audience, he's been leaving the neighborhood in Staten Island behind. And you can see this in the debate with the Verrazano Bridge route. But in the end, Reverend Sharpton did listen to the community, because we have been doing marches each week from the site where Eric was murdered to the 120th precinct. And this Saturday is just a repeat of that. So it's just really interesting that though Reverend Al is often criticized for kind of, you know, going for the glory and stuff like that, he is attentive to the community's needs when he is able to be.
I think that's why, in the end, he's been a much better organizer than Jesse Jackson was. Well, and he's a very dear friend of mine, but he doesn't listen to anybody when he starts marching.
Well, the issue is right now, too, is that he tends to play sides against each other. And the instant he's left Ferguson, he's already vilifying the protesters after dark. And there's this really bizarre conversation going on about the outside provocateurs and things. And people really need to understand that what happens in Ferguson affects all of us. And, yes, I'm not for all these people, like the radical communists who are down there. I'm not for, you know, the violent instigation of trouble. But there's a lot of great people down there who've been down there who are not from Ferguson, who have been helping out with things like the Operation Help or Hush. The locals in Ferguson, they've used all the tools that we used for Occupy Sandy, the Amazon registries, PayPal donations, and they've completely mobilized their own native response to this. And if there hadn't been outside, you know, influences, they may not have been led to those tools. So I think communities, we really need to start looking at how we vilify others, outsiders from communities, because right now Ferguson's attention is being turned on looking at these outsiders and how they're the problem. And honestly, we have to remember, this is about police violence. No more, no less.
Justin, I really want to thank you for your call. And Governor Patterson, you know, it's that idea of the outside agitator, that has a long history in civil rights movement,
well,
right?
FBI files show that people who were posing as black militants infiltrated some of Dr. King's rallies and then started violent confrontations and got blamed on King. And this is documented in the annals of law enforcement history. I think that more though than it being government sponsored, I think there are people who are really looking for trouble, and they are really taking advantage of this horrible tragedy and a community's attempt to get justice to foment their own anger in violence, which is absolutely deplorable. But Justin's right. A lot of the people who came there to be of help are coming there, again, maybe to focus attention on themselves, but also to focus attention on too many of these issues where it's police versus civilian and it's black versus white.
Well, and of course, many of the people who during the Freedom Summer came down on the buses to register voters, et cetera, they were referred to as outside agitators. So it's a term that gets, I think, thrown around both ways. I want to go back now to Ian in Brooklyn, who we spoke to briefly before. Ian, I don't know if you have the iPhone 6 that can do a three-way call, because we can't do that. But who were you talking to before?
Okay, yeah, I was speaking to a friend of mine. He's the brother of James E. Davis, his brother Jeffrey Davis. He was actually out there in Missouri. But my first comment was, the reason why you don't have that kind of violence and rioting out here is because New York City, we've had those kind of incidents before where we've destroyed our communities, and we've watched how the communities weren't rebuilt after that, after those riots. And I'm talking about just for instance, the blackout of the 60s, the blackout of the 70s. Too many were left abandoned and corporations and businesses left. And then we lost a lot, and it took us nearly 30 years to get back to where we are now. So this might have been their first incident with police and the community, you know, clashing. And actually, Jeffrey Davis is on the other line. He was out there in the midst of everything. Jeffrey, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And Jeffrey Davis, he actually spoke with clergy, police, and the community, and he noticed there was a division there, that the three really weren't talking as an entity, as one. So maybe Jeff can expand on that. Can you, Jeff?
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Ian. Governor Patterson.
How are you, Jeff? It's good to talk to you.
Hey, long time. Good to talk to you. Great topic, great conversation. Yeah, I was down in Ferguson. The elected officials down there, the ministers, the police, and the community, the protesters, if you will, were almost separate, where they weren't one body of people for the cause of addressing police brutality. And with dialogue and conversation with the police department, the residents and the community, we were able to come to an understanding that if you are standing looking menacing with heavy artillery on you, you are threatening, you're being a threatening body to a resident who is angry about the police brutality. And if the ministers are standing to the side and not supporting the protesters, then the protesters, which are young people, feel that they don't have the support and they're not coming together as one. So what I did was I spoke to different groups. I spoke to the protesters, I spoke to the ministers, I spoke to the police, and I spoke to the community at large in general to get everybody involved on one page, and it worked. And that particular day, which was 2 days ago, CNN reported that there was calm because the community, the young people, felt then finally that the ministers were there on their side. Now, to me, the ministers were almost in shell shock because of the tear gas and the tanks and things coming to this small town, which is right outside of St. Louis, this small town, them perhaps not experiencing this anymore. So right. I wasn't an outside agitator. I was there to assist, to say that this is happening all over the country, and we're here to, as one unit, as one body, and as one nation, to address police brutality. And telling them that, and telling the police officers that not all, of course, police officers are bad. We don't view it like that. But the racist ones that are within the police department across the nation has to be weeded out and removed immediately.
Jeff, thank you so much. I want to thank Jeff and Ian for that three-way call from Brooklyn and Ferguson. And also, of course, on the line with us, Governor David Patterson. I just wonder about your response, Governor Patterson, to that. And are there things that we in New York can learn from what's going on in Ferguson?
No, I think people in Ferguson can learn something from us in New York because, oddly enough, a lot of those riots, even some of the disturbances after the blackouts in 1977, were such that people started to realize the people, you know, Dr. King once said, it's not as much the bad people, it's the good people who are silent. And people started organizing, they started marching, they finally started to elect people from the community into positions beyond the community, culminating in 1989 with the election of the first African-American mayor, David Dinkins. And other groups in the city, the Puerto Rican and Dominican communities following in that footstep. And I think the people in Ferguson, I would hope they would do after this is over, is realize that they have a lot to do with why police policy is the way it is and why elected officials react the way they do. It's time to start organizing. Two-thirds of that county is African-American. And the other thing is that the elected official gets elected doesn't always have to be black, because we have a white mayor in the city of New York right now who got more votes in the Democratic primary than any other candidate, including the black candidate, because he had a tremendous response to the acquittal of George Zimmerman, and he had a very strong stand on stop and frisk. And so it's not even really a matter of color in the end. It's a matter of condition. And I think that Jeff Davis, who ran for political office and whose brother was a police officer, and 95% of police officers do a great job. And at times when the majority of the force isn't doing such a great job, it's the policy, not the hardworking men and women who risk their lives to save people. But I do think that the people from Ferguson hopefully will get to a point where they don't let the negative element of their community put them on the front pages of all the newspapers around the country, when the strong people and the faith-based people and those who believe in a real government organize themselves and respond.
You brought up Mayor de Blasio, and of course we talked a bunch on the show yesterday about the fact that stop and frisk has, since Mayor de Blasio became mayor, dropped dramatically, particularly in Brooklyn. But I do wonder, you're head of the New York Democratic Party, and Mayor de Blasio is a Democratic mayor here in New York City. Is your attending the rally on Saturday to protest the death of Eric Garner at all a stance on the de Blasio administration?
Not at all. If Mayor de Blasio weren't mayor, he'd be at the demonstration himself. He was at the demonstration after the acquittal of George Zimmerman and a lot of other demonstrations when he thought that the state or the city were not acting properly. Now, it would be inappropriate for him to march, but he, as a person who is the head of government, I think he understands the need for protests. He just wants to make sure it's done properly, and we certainly understand that because he has to protect all the citizens of the city. And I hope that those police officers who go out there Saturday will not be in any way tainted by what they saw happen in Ferguson, because New York City is in a completely different climate and has not had these types of incidents because Ian may be right that when people saw the communities destroyed and nobody rebuilt them, they thought twice about it. But I think the people who were destroying things don't care about anything. What I really think the answer was, if people feel they have a voice, if they feel that justice can be done, they'll wait and let the judicial system apply. But I gave you a list of a number of situations that people felt weren't addressed, and culminating with Rodney King in 1992, when there were riots in many cities around this country, but not New York.
Very briefly, former Governor David Paterson, now also the head of the New York Democratic Party. Since we have you on the line and there is a governor's race coming up, I want to ask you briefly about that. A New York State Appeals Court ruled yesterday that Zephyr Teachout, the NYU law professor running against Governor Cuomo in the Democratic primary, can remain on the September 9th ballot. And I wonder whether you think a primary is a good thing for the party.
Listen, I think primaries can be good and bad things for parties from time to time. I don't think this primary is going to be a bad thing at all. I think that Governor Cuomo is going to be a runaway victor. But the Democratic Party has primaries. The last time I remember a Republican Party having a primary, I believe Halley's Comet came on by the planet.
Well, I'll also note that this program is working to host a debate moderated by Brian Lehrer between Zephyr Teachout and Republican candidate Rob Astorino, who have said that they are willing to debate each other without Governor Cuomo. That is likely happening next week. Former Governor David Paterson attending the march Saturday on Staten Island to protest the death of Eric Garner. Thank you so much for being on the show to talk about that.
Well, thank you. And by the way, Brian Lehrer is one of my favorite interviewers, but we haven't lost anything from your participation. It was a very well done interview. Thank you.
That's very kind of you, Governor. Thank you. I am Isaac Davey Aronson, in for Brian Lehrer. And coming up next, the disillusionment of an American physician, one doctor's dispiriting journey through the modern medical establishment. That's next. Stay tuned.